words, what matters most? What is it that we want our treasures to be over this 2019? What is it that we want to experience the goodness of God over this year? And if you have a Bible, we're going to read this parable. It's the parable of the rich fool. Not the rich farmer before God, but the rich fool. How many have heard this before? Read this parable or heard about it? So here it is. I'll start from Jesus' words. Someone in the crowd said to him, I'm starting from verse 13, said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Hey, Jesus, he's kind of hogging it all. Tell him that I've got to take a little bit too, right? Jesus replied, "Man," I kind of think that he said it that way, by the way, but "man, who appointed me," this is Jesus, remember, he is the judge, right? "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" He's like saying, I'm not going to get involved in your family squabble. I'm not going to get involved in this. Who should have what? You don't need to come to me for that, right? Then he said to them, "Watch out, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And then our parable. And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest." Abundant. That means it was overflowing, right? He had more than he needed. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store all my crops." This is a good problem to have, right? An abundance. It seems like it. Then he said, verse 18, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones." Ah, that's what I'll do. "And then I will store my surplus grain." And there, sorry, "I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years." Can everyone give me a nice deep sigh? Isn't that nice? Take life easy. You know those people that say, you know, "I'm going to hear from the word of the Lord. I'm going to flip to a random passage, and that's my verse for the day." Imagine if you landed right there. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. Well, that sounds good. But when Jesus says a "but" in the Bible, how many know that he's about to turn everything 180 degrees? But, verse 20, God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." May God bless his word. This story is about a farmer at harvest time, right? But unlike a lot of stories about harvest time, there's a concern about how big the harvest is in this story, isn't there? This harvest seemed to be especially good, so good, in fact, that this farmer had more crops to store than his barns could hold. Good problem, like I said, to have. He was so confident about his farming future that he decided he would tear down his barns and do what? And build bigger ones, right? His heart swelled up with pride. "Oh, yeah, baby, look at me. I've got enough for this year, for next year, maybe for the next 10 years. All stored up, ready to go, right? We'll have bread to eat. We can call parties and everybody in the community, and we can have a big, huge fun, big fun time, right? For many years, relax, eat, drink, be merry." What matters most, my friends? But that very night, he woke up in a sweat, I imagine, from a nightmare. In his dream, he found himself summoned by God, who said to him these words, "You fool, this very night your life is demanded of you." Just in case you don't understand what that means, this very night, you're going to die. You're going to go. You're going to meet me, right? In this very night, his life was demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be then, right? Presumably in the morning, if this is called out to its logical conclusion, what happens? Right? Presumably, his servants find their rich master dead in bed, having died from, I would imagine, something like a massive heart attack, something sudden. The man's relatives, I'm just extrapolating here, but maybe they fight over the will, they contest it, but eventually someone else gets all his property. And that's the bottom line. All that he had stored up for himself has gone to someone else. It's all for naught. This man, said Jesus, seemed rich to everyone who looked at him. He was prospering as a farmer. But everything he owned, hear this, was temporary. None of his money had bought him anything that his soul could hold on to. In his death, he discovered that he had nothing at all. He was empty. Jesus brings the point home in verse 21, doesn't he? Verse 21 says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. At the beginning of this year, over this first couple of months, that's the question I have for you this morning. We're still kind of in the middle of February, still reflect upon this year. There's more of this year to come than there is this year in the past, isn't there? And I asked the question, Richmond family, this morning, what matters most to you? What are we storing up for ourselves? How many of us at these times, like me, take a moment and reflect upon the year that's been? But look at my schedule and then say, what can God be doing? Christy Pierce was a young, successful, and upwardly mobile woman. She had an incredibly, you would say that she had a lot of power and clout and success. She was a manager for various political organizations in the U.S. She helped with, how many know the name Elizabeth Dole? Does anyone know that name? Elizabeth Dole is the wife of Senator Bob Dole, who was a presidential candidate in the U.S. Elizabeth Dole herself was once a presidential candidate, right? Elizabeth Dole was once the CEO of the Red Cross, all right? So these are big organizations. Everyone seemed to admire Christy. She had risen up the ladder. She was actually not only successful, but people saw her as somebody that you go to, right? They say in life, there's people that you go from and you go to. She seemed to be one of these people you go to. But she says inwardly in some memoirs she writes years later that she was inwardly lonely, depressed, and burnt out. She says, and I quote, one year I came home from a 6-city tour with the Doles. It was great, like all these amazing speeches in front of thousands of people, right? And she said, I found 15 messages on the answering machine, she said. There were words of congratulations. What a great tour. I saw you in Philadelphia. I saw you in Dallas. Wow, we're going to get on board this train, right? Words of congratulations, invitations to Christmas parties. She seemed to be the one, right? Words from family and friends. And yet, Christy says this, I vividly remember that I had never felt so alone, so empty. What matters most? Christy says that she went to a prayer meeting that night. It was her very first time walking into a church building. Christy Pierce walked in there, and she didn't even know why she walked in, but she walked into prayer meeting, kind of like our, like what happens here on a Wednesday night now with us, our midweek service, or here. You know, we come and later on we'll be praying for people's needs. And on Wednesday we pray for people's needs and we stand with people. Well, she felt compelled to walk in. And right there, somebody came up to her somewhere through the service and prayed for her. And she said she remembered the words of that woman. The woman said to Christy, I don't know you, but as I pray, this verse keeps coming to mind. And this is it. It's Ecclesiastes 2, verses 10 and 11. Says this, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I wonder if there's some rich men and women, oh, rich man. I wonder if there's some rich people in this room, right? I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. This is penned from Solomon. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. I wonder if there's some of us in this room who've had success, but have taken a step back and said, that's not real success. How come I feel this void still in my heart? I wonder if there's some of us in this room who've been digging in different wells and saying, if I get a stockpile of money, if I get everything okay and all the relationships in my family okay, if I have the greatest success, if I become manager, president in my company, everything will be okay. And then we've gotten the money. We've gotten the power. We've even got a family that smiles more than they cry. But we've come to the end of that and said, there is still a void in my heart. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? Christie says this, and I quote again, I will never forget that prayer. Because in that moment, I sensed God speaking directly to me, and I experienced a great sense of relief and peace. And as they prayed, I felt this, God understands me. He knows my heart. He knows my name. Okay. I guess some of us don't know that song. The child of the 80s and the 90s. So, He understands me. He knows my heart. Maybe we think that that's a cute story for a young, upwardly mobile woman, but that's not me because I'm tougher than that. I've had my share of heartache and headache. Oh, headaches. I still get them. And I'm tougher than that, right? We're tougher, we're harder, we're more realistic than that woman who seemed to be kind of, you know, how come she needed to walk into a meeting to find God? She can find God in her closet, right? But can I say this as gently as possible, but speaking the truth of the Word of God? Maybe the difference between us and Christy, if that's us, is that her heart was soft and our hearts have become hardened. Like the rich farmer in Jesus' parables, maybe we've become too focused on possessions, on money, on our ideas about how we rule our lives. I love this, right? What I found interesting is sometimes how, not people here in our Richmond family, but how people sometimes pray. It seems more that what we're doing at times is asking God to fulfill our dreams. God, one day if you help me pay off this $50,000 loan, life is going to be good. Right? God, when I finally get my promotion, or when I finally get that job that I've been looking for, God, would you do it? I'm going to pray. In fact, I'm going to fast for that because that's your will. Really? God, hear this seriously. God, one day when you heal my heart from the ache of my difficulties with my son or my dad, when you truly reconcile us together, then my life will be full and complete. Is that a bad thing to wish for? No. Is that a bad thing to desire? No. But can I speak the truth today? More important than all of those needs and wants and desires is the will of God in our lives. Is the peace that comes from leaning upon the creator and sustainer of the world. Amen? Tim Sanders. I don't know if anyone would know the name Tim Sanders. Has anyone heard of a little search engine called Yahoo? Has anyone heard of Yahoo before? Tim, anyone have Yahoo email accounts? Okay, no one is. Okay. You've all gone Gmail, or you've all just decided, I'm going to plug out of that. But Tim Sanders used to manage Yahoo, okay? And he likes to tell people how to establish priorities, and he does so this way. You must be wondering what on earth these things are doing here. I'm about to tell you. He told people in establishing priorities that you can look at everything you have, all of your stuff, and all of your priorities in three separate categories. You can look at them as rubber, as metal, or as glass. You see, there's some things in our lives that are like rubber, right? We have a Seahawks fan here, right? You're a Seahawks fan, right? If I miss the Seahawks game, or how many here are Canuck fans? My mother-in-law's here, so she knows where this is about to go. But I have a confession to make here today. You're my family, right? We've established that, right? And there's love in the family, right? There's no, like, you're not going to be throw stones at me in a second here. I'm a hockey fan as well, but I'm not a Vancouver Canucks fan. Mom, you're not allowed to speak. Can anyone guess what my favorite hockey team is? Edmonton? No. Did someone say Toronto? Dear Lord, we need deliverance in this house today. No, not the Maple Leafs. I hear Montreal. My dad's here, and that's the Habitants. Sorry, the Flames. I lived in Calgary, but no. But my favorite hockey team, NHL hockey team, are the Los Angeles Kings. Now, if you know anything about hockey, two things. When I said that 5 years ago, that meant something to a Canuck fan because we were going for Stanley Cups. I say it now, and we're going for number one overall in the draft. If you see your NHL standings, we are the second worst team in the league right now. So if you miss an LA Kings game, can I bounce back? Yeah, I think I will. If I miss that concert, right? There's some worship concerts coming over this year over the Lower Mainland. If I miss that, I had to work late at work, and so I miss going to Passion or Hillsong United is coming again this year and stuff like that. Can I bounce back? So we can think in our lives of things that are like rubber. But there's another category, isn't there? There's things in our lives that are like metal. And yes, I'm about to do it. If those things drop, what happens? They make a loud sound. They make a sound in our lives, don't they? They cause some disruption in our lives, the things that are metal, don't they? If I miss a meeting at work, an important meeting, right? Where we're going to decide important things, that causes some discombobulation in my life, right? If something important happens and I miss it, right? Other things in our lives. But here's the good news about all of those things that are like metal. They can come back. I can put the lid back on, right? We can move on. We can be restored by the power of God, by the grace of God, and we can move forward in our lives, right? Some things are like rubber, but some things are like metal. And yes, some things are like glass. So, how many honestly thought I was going to drop a glass onto the altar? Some of you were watching the progression, and you just stopped listening to me, and you just waited to this point right here, didn't you? No, I'm not going to do that. But I think the point's there, and you understand it, right? There are some things that are like glass. If I did drop this from a great height and it fell and it broke in a million smithereen pieces, right? I could get some crazy glue and I could put it together. But how many know it will never be the same again? You know what I'm saying? You hear this? It could hold its shape even, but even through the glass, you'll see imperfections. It will never be the same again. And there are some things in our lives, maybe our marriages, maybe our family relationships, something that is near and dear to each and every one of us. And so when I ask the question, what matters most? There are some things in this category as well, aren't there? What matters most to us? This is the question of Jesus in our parable today. Tim Sanders says this. So for instance, So there are things that are made of glass. When we drop one of these, it shatters into pieces and it'll never be the same again. You can try to piece these things back together, but it'll still be missing some pieces. It won't look the same. You could try to fill that particular piece of glass with water, but it'll probably leak because the consequences of it being broken will forever affect how it is used. So how about our lives? As we reflect upon them right now in February of 2019, do you know which parts of your lives are like rubber, are like metal, are like glass? Do you know which parts of your life that you can't afford to drop? For some of us, maybe we know those things. But for some of us, maybe those things are different than what we desire. That's kind of what happened to this rich farmer, isn't it? This rich farmer thought the things that he desired, the things that he had abundance for, were his things of glass. But they weren't. At the end of this message, which I'm getting close to, I'm going to give you a chance to pray in silence before your Lord and your Maker and ask God the question, what matters most to me? I'm going to ask you to begin thinking about even right now. Jesus tells us to become rich in eternal things, right? Things that matter. To be rich men and women of God, rich men, people. How do we do that? Can I make a point with you, a thought? We do it by listening to our spirit person, that part of us that connects directly with God, right? Watchman Nee wrote a book, turn of last century, right? When he spoke about our physical, he spoke about our what makes up our being in three separate parts, or actually four separate parts. Our body, right? Sorry, three separate parts. Four separate parts. Our body, our physical being, our emotional being, so that part of us that's our psychological being, right? Our soul, our core, and which directly connected to our core and who we really are. When this body goes to the grave, I don't suddenly disintegrate, right? We understand that as Christians. But my soul goes where? Goes to meet with Jesus. That's the part that gets to meet with Jesus. That's the part that lives forever, right? And our spirit person, that part that connects with Jesus, that has a desire for him, right? Which is the question I have to you. How do you connect your soul? We do this by listening to our spirit man, our spirit person. Do you notice that in Jesus' parable here that the rich man talks to his soul, but I never see any description of him listening to it? He says in verse 19, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. Yes, he talks, but it never says that he actually listens for the answer. Have you noticed at times in your life when you've been most distracted, most disorientated, most distant from God, are times when you're not listening to your soul, when you seem to be listening to all the other voices. And Christian, follower of Jesus, this matters most. Why? Listen to what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian church. Ephesians 3, verses 16 and 17 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, your soul person, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It is that part that desperately needs to connect with God. As I believe it was Blaise Pascal said once, we have a God-shaped vacuum, void in each of our hearts that nothing created of man could ever fill, but that can only be filled by who? By God himself, right? I believe it was St. Augustine who said this, our hearts are restless. Sorry, my notes are going all over the place. That's why I'm kind of fumbling here for a minute. But it says, our hearts are restless, St. Augustine said, until we what? Until we rest in him. One of the most important reasons we come to worship on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night is to practice listening to our souls, I believe. Huh? To practice listening for God, connecting with us. Worship helps us to what? To become soul sensitive. If we give ourselves to worship him in song, in prayer, in listening for his voice, in his message, as we mingle in fellowship and have real koinonia with others, right? Then our hearts become full because we've connected with our Creator. Jesus, in this way, stirs our souls. We can begin to listen to what the Holy Spirit, who speaks to us through our souls, is saying to us. We also become rich toward God when we begin to ask God to show us what things matter most to him. The topic of today. Every day that there are tasks to do, we could all fill our lives full of all sorts of things, right? Important things. A lot of them need to be done, but don't really matter, to be honest. If we were to do a real inventory, don't really matter in a week or a month or a year. But can I speak the truth here today? There are some things that God has destined for us to do. We don't live our lives by accident, right? There are some things that God calls us to do. Some people that God calls us to, right? I remember times in supermarkets where I have taken the numb step and walked up to somebody and said, I don't know why I'm asking you this question, but where is your hope? I've had dumbfounded looks. Well, my hope is in this carrot, I guess I'm eating right, looking for. No, I'm just joking on that. But usually I get dumbfounded looks. But I remember once somebody looked up to me and said, or looked up at me and said, I don't know, sir. And he said, if I was to be honest today, I don't even know why they said it, other than the Holy Spirit spoke to them. If I was to be honest today, I would say to you, I don't have any. I could care less if I live or die, the person said to me. And I said, do you want to know something? I'm not inviting you to a church, but I'd like to invite you to a relationship with somebody that can give you hope eternally. And I shared Jesus Christ. And that person didn't come to church. Oh, but it's nothing bad about coming to church, by the way. But I'm just speaking truthfully, okay? So I want to tell my story honestly the way it happened. But you know what? That person got to know Jesus, right? And one day I prayed that that person did walk into a church, and that person did continue on to live an entire life following Jesus Christ. Why? Because one tubby little Chinese guy asked a question. Where's your hope? The There are some people that God calls us to, some tasks that God calls us to that are important, right? Amen? I believe in eternal destiny. Each of us don't live our lives by accident. So my question here today, friends, is this again. What matters most? Thinking about 2019 for him and you. Maybe those are things that you will see under the bright lights, right? And there will be notoriety and recognition for. But for many of us who follow Jesus long enough, we know that the lights go off and we go home. All of us do. And we have to live our lives where that's at. But you know what the difference is? Jesus goes with us then. And so what matters most under the bright lights, or what matters most in the supermarket, or what matters most when we're feeling frustrated at life, still is what matters most to us. So I think it's a good time to pause, to reflect, to ask, and to listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us. Right? I want to close with a story, and I'll ask the team to come on up and make their way to the platform with Lem. William Stidger. William Stidger is probably a name that not many of us would know. But William Stidger heard his soul telling him one year to remember a woman who had been his teacher when he was a young boy, one of his grade school or elementary school teachers. He remembered that this particular woman had put a love of poetry in his heart. So ever since, he loved hearing poetry and he loved reading poetry. If it wasn't for her, he probably wouldn't have had that desire. So he decided just to take 5-10 minutes of his life and write a little letter to her. He found out where she lived. He actually wrote, addressed the letter, and sent it out. Didn't think anything more of it. But he knew that that's what he was supposed to do, right? He knew that that was a task that was for him, not for somebody else. And he received a note back from this woman. She wrote these words. She said, "My dear Willie, I cannot tell you how much your note meant to me." You guys can start playing. That's sweet. "I cannot tell you how much your note meant to me. I'm in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and like the last leaf of autumn, lingering behind. You'll be interested to know that I taught school for 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I ever received. It came on a blue cold morning and cheered me as nothing has in many years." Simple words on a page, or a note of hope for a life that's